satisfy you.
Welcome to Knotcast, episode 232, DTMFA, and I actually got that out right. Part two, otherwise known as Dump the Motherfucker Already.
Yes.
So this is when relationships have hit their end point, somebody's crossed the line, and it's time to end it.
Yep.
We've all probably hit that point. I know I have.
It is a popular acronym with Dan Savage.
Yes. So, this week is also probably going to be con reports of doom.
Kind of.
Because we all hit different cons this past weekend.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I'm sure we have stuff to talk about.
Sure.
Not really.
It wasn't that exciting?
Nah.
It was just an anime con?
It was an anime con.
Same as it ever was.
Yeah. Well, what con did you go to, Saverin? Let's start with you, since it'll be short.
Yeah, I went to Anime Fest. It's in downtown Dallas.
Aren't they getting bigger?
No, they shrunk this year by a good amount.
He said it was like a couple of thousand.
Yeah, they were like 10,000 last year. They were like 7,500 this year.
Ooh. Well, how was their marketing down or something?
Apparently.
Well.
But it was an anime con. Lots of cosplayers of various stripes. Just sort of the usual multimedia Western and Eastern animation. There was plenty of Homestuck, plenty of Adventure Time, plenty of ponies, plenty of everything else.
All of it.
Plenty of Doctor Who.
Yeah, lots of Doctor Who. There was a couple of, like, what was her name, Ciel or whatever, from Black Butler, the crazy androgynous person with a chainsaw.
Whoosh.
You see much from... The one I'm watching, and I don't watch that much anyway, I'm still watching that Attack on Titan.
Yeah, there was a couple of them, but not a lot. It's a fairly complex cosplay.
Yeah.
With all the straps and the...
Buckles and the...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys.
Is that any good, Attack on Titan?
Oh, it's really good.
It's really intense, but pretty good, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Is it sci-fi, I'm assuming?
It's fantasy.
Fantasy.
Ugh. I was hoping by the name it would be sci-fi.
It's really unusual, so... But it's not like magical girl stuff. It's really kind of...
It's not like Madoka.
Yeah, we...
I just finished that series. I marathoned it in like 3 days.
Dave watched it a while back.
I was like, episode one. Okay, episode three.
Oh,
my God. Episode four. Then I watched episode five. And then I was like, all right, well, I'm going to finish the rest of this. And I watched it all in one sitting. And by the end, I was just like...
Oh
my God, what did I watch?
Yeah, Madoka.
That good, huh?
It was really good, but...
It's brutal.
It's a brutal, dark series, despite its trappings of being a magical girl anime.
Mm-hmm. No, it's really, dark.
It's a genre deconstruction of the entire magical girl thing.
Mm.
And the ending is good, but nobody ends up very happy.
Careful spoilers.
Yeah.
So
I didn't go to that much at the anime con. I basically browsed around and did promotion.
You were flyers.
And I didn't even take any photos. But I did go to a couple of panels, and like the AMV panel had a bunch of them that featured stuff from Madoka, and I was like, I've been wanting to watch that. It's on Crunchyroll.
So
I watched it. But it was a con. I mean, The biggest deal that I found there was Akon was selling 3-day attending passes for $35 at Anime Fest.
That would have been...
So I broke my streak of not spending money at anime cons by spending money to go to a different anime con
Still,
at an anime con.
Dog, I heard you like anime cons.
I also got like a hand-sewn or a machine-stitched patch and that Rarity vinyl sticker.
To be fair, $35 to go to Akon is pretty damn good.
Isn't it like $70 normally?
That's like half price, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're just getting them their money nearly a year in advance?
Yeah, they're front-loading their budget. That totally makes sense.
I'm totally fine with that, too.
Yeah.
Because next year I won't be there promoting anything, but just going and enjoying anime stuff.
Yeah.
For $35, I would consider going. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, how about you, Fuzz? Where'd you go?
So, I went to San Antonio for WorldCon 71. It's the 71st annual WorldCon. It actually started 74 years ago, but they were on break during the years of World War II.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You want to hear something even more amazing? There was two or three people there who had attended the first WorldCon in 1939.
Damn.
The youngest of them was 90.
Wow.
And there was also a 94-year-old who had been at that first WorldCon. And the two of them actually presented one of the special awards at the Hugo ceremony.
Wow.
I was going to say, when you get going, you get to come every year for free if you're still breathing and, like, it's safe for you to travel.
Yeah, I hope they weren't like, cash your social security checks, old man. It's time to pay your registration fee.
No, I would just keep bringing him back every year.
Yeah. Probably on some kind of organizing committee or something emeritus something at this point, I would imagine. I would hope so.
Jeez.
But, yeah, so that was, I saw at least the two of them on stage. And, you know, the 90-year-old guy actually did not, so the 94-year-old looked like what you'd expect a 94-year-old to look like. Kind of frail, completely white hair, you know, kind of losing a lot of hair, speaking slowly, but still had all his marbles. The 90-year-old guy looked like he was maybe in his mid-70s.
Wow,
he looked really good for a 90-year-old. You know, and his hair wasn't even white. It was more like a dark gray still, which was impressive.
That's pretty cool.
But, yeah, he got around just fine without a walker or anything. I was like, fucker's 90. Oh, my God.
He's been stealing time from other people.
Yes, probably. That's why there are no younger attendees at WorldCon.
He just devours
because them. He's just devouring their time.
Was it mostly like our age? And
no. We were so young. We're the whippersnappers. We're not even worth talking to.
Really?
Yes, yes.
That's unusual.
Totally. I'm used to being one of the older people in the room at a furry convention room party or something.
Nope. Oh.
Nuh-uh. So this goes into the major issue of this WorldCon that several folks have pointed out. The most prominent of which would be Ursula Vernon. Actually, I knew I said Ursula Major, mixing it up with Ursula Major. I was like, bleh. Ursula Vernon, who won the Hugo Award last year in graphic story for her webcomic Digger, published by Sofa Wolf. Mm-hmm. Also available for sale at FurPlanet.com. Anyway, she was there this year. She made a live journal post about it. Apparently, Neil Gaiman retweeted her live journal post, so that got it some.
All I can say is when Neil Gaiman retweets you, it's got to be like.
And it was so it actually hit like the top 10 posts on live journal.
Wow!
It has over 400 comments already. But if you go to UrsulaV.livejournal.com.
I watch her. So.
Okay. You'll see it on there. But she basically wrote up the problem of WorldCon. And it's kind of funny because Tieran and I were talking about this. We didn't know that this was going to end up being a widely held opinion, at least of our generation, that the problem with WorldCon is that there is a lot of older people there. And that's not the problem. The real problem is there's not very many younger people. And that just doesn't bode well for the longevity.
You've
got
to get the young blood in there so you get the next generation.
You've got to turn it over, you know, as time goes by. And it just doesn't bode well for the future of either WorldCon or that hard sci-fi, traditional sci-fi kind of fandom. And it's because it's splintered a lot. Like, for one thing, WorldCon was Labor Day weekend. So it is automatically competing with PAX Prime and Dragon Con, which, you know, Dragon Con is a lot more varied in its attendees, a lot of younger people, and then runs the gamut. And then PAX has the gaming fandom covered, basically. You also had two furry cons that weekend, Fermi and Anthrocon.
Oh, God. Did you hear about Margaret Cho being at Anthrocon?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was kind of cool. I retweeted it, the picture that she tweeted of suitors. So, like, you think about how sci-fi fantasy fandom has kind of developed and split off. You've got furries. You've got anime. You've got gaming. These are all groups that have their own conventions now. They don't just go to a sci-fi fantasy convention. And it's a sci-fi convention that is solely focused on books, on the literary side, which I think is cool, but it does kind of limit its scope a little bit.
Yeah.
And even more than that, they don't have a lot of programming that would appeal to younger people, teens, or people in their 20s. Like, there are younger people that read Harry Potter, Twilight.
Well, there's so much more.
Hunger Games. Yeah, I'm just thinking of, like, the three or four really big, well-known ones that have come out in the last 10 years. There wasn't programming for any of that stuff. And there also really wasn't a whole lot of it for sale in the dealer's room.
So it's very tailored.
So there's really, like, if you're like a 16-year-old and you're just discovering the world of sci-fi fantasy because you've read Harry Potter, you've read Twilight, and you're like, oh, I want to go to this con because I love science fiction, and there's nothing there to really pull you in the door. And you figure once you get people like that in the door, then you could be like, hey, if you really dug this book,
you should check out this other one.
Exactly. You should check out this other stuff. There's all this other stuff about sci-fi and horror and different stuff. And I do want to put a note in here that I don't want a million emails telling me how shitty Twilight is, because I'm using it as an example of a best-selling series that appeals to younger, especially younger people. But yeah,
hell, younger women.
Younger women. There's a very sci-fi fantasy is very heavily male biased, and at least this con is older biased. It literally is the old white guys running the show. Ursula also blogs about how I think it was in her blog she had an African American friend. And she was talking to him about how few minorities were there. And then they also met up with another attendee who was Asian. And he was saying how few Asians did he saw there. And there's maybe seven other Asians, seven other black people, you know? So it's a very... It's just sad that the history of science fiction is like... was supposed to be this forward-looking, we're writing this shit in the 40s about what it'll be like in 100 years and looking to the future. And now it feels like the fandom
is... stagnating.
It's stagnated. It is stuck in the past. It hasn't moved beyond the 70s. Hell, I talked to a guy who was telling me about one of the other dealers. He's like, yeah, he's been a bookseller probably longer than you've been alive. Probably longer than I've been alive. And he was like 60. And I was just like, Jesus Christ. So that's the downside. Check Ursula's journal. It was a very interesting article. Kyle Gold also wrote about it in his journal, which is very interesting. There's a couple other links about it. I think John Scalzi, who won the Hugo this year for best novel, he also wrote about it.
Mm.
So on the downside, sales were obviously not that great. Because it is not our genre, and definitely not our age group that's interested in furry. Because furry is generally a very young fandom, comparatively.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, because it was like, oh, it's a world con, it's 5 hours away, where we're going to go down and check it out. And that's cool. So, on the plus side, I went to the Hugo Awards ceremony. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of cool to say, I've been to a Hugo Awards ceremony and got to see the awards presented and everything. I mean, it's like being in the audience of the Academy Awards, basically. It's like the Academy Awards for literary science fiction. I was a little disappointed that Doctor Who didn't win for best dramatic short presentation, but most likely because they split the vote.
Mm-hmm.
There was 5 things nominated. 3 of them were Doctor Who episodes.
Ooh.
So it probably split the vote, and eventually a Game of Thrones episode won.
Oh.
And George R. R. Martin was there at the con, and he went up to accept his award.
Damn thronies.
Yeah, my little throny.
Guilty.
There was a few well-known authors there. I mean, obviously George Martin was there. Paul Cornell was the Toastmaster. He'll be known to Doctor Who fans. And he also has written a bunch of other stuff, too. The other really, really, really cool, awesome, oh my God, I'm having a spiritual experience kind of thing, was they had a special exhibit for the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who.
I saw your photos of these.
They had a TARDIS. They had a radio control talking canine, which mm-hmm. had a little door on his side that opened and closed, and his little nose sensor thing retracted and extracted. They had three Daleks. Two were very much the classic style, and one was like the one from the episode Dalek. It was gold with the little squiggly thing mm-hmm. on his chest plate and stuff like that. And the centerpiece of it all, they had the Eighth Doctor's console from the TV movie, which I spent a lot of time talking to the guy. So this is interesting, what happened with this. When they made this movie, the BBC didn't own any of the stuff that they made for the TV movie. Mm-hmm. They just contracted some prop design company in Canada, in Vancouver, where it was shot, to build all this shit, bring it onto the set, and then they kept whatever afterwards. And it had been there since 1996. Mm-hmm. And over the years, parts of it were thrown away. They used to have the big metal girders that mm-hmm. surrounded it. They'd gotten rid of those. The original time rotor was gone. And they were about to just toss the whole thing when this fan basically came in to research this. And he said he got it for a song. He basically bought it dirt cheap. It was in bad condition. It was missing the time rotor. It was missing the bass, and he got it in, I want to say, like 2007. And he has spent all this time restoring it. Hmm. And he had a donation jar there that for a $10 donation, you could go inside the exhibit and actually stand up there and touch it, have your picture taken. You could check out all this stuff and everything. And all the money he collects goes into working on and restoring this TARDIS console. So he built his own time rotor from scratch mm-hmm. as closely to the original as he could get. But he's also added shit. Like, you know, when they make a movie, this is common. Like all the little buttons and switches and stuff that they hit, mm-hmm. they don't actually do anything. They light up a light. But all the sounds they add in post, usually,
yeah.
he's actually added sound effects to it.
Hmm.
So he's like, pull the brake. And because I wanted a picture of me with my hand on the brake. Mm-hmm. And you pull the brake, and the lights on the time rotor flicker and die, and it makes the braking shutting down kind of sound from the movie. You turn so on the opposite side of that, there's this big control with a handle, a big rounded thing, and you move it across horizontally, and it turns all the lights on. In the TV movie, he uses it to activate the visualizer mm-hmm. on the TARDIS ceiling that shows what's outside the ship, basically. But it actually has the vroom kind of sound mm-hmm. effect. You can flick some of the switches and dialogue from the movie. Paul McGann's voice will be on there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So you talk about a fucking super dedicated fan
yeah.
that's put a lot of work into this. And it's my favorite console because it's all wood and brass. It was very Jules Verne inspired. I got to twist a little dial that has the era and the planet and the dates and stuff mm-hmm. on it. It was just so cool.
Your pants.
Yeah.
So if it's twice. $10 to touch it, what is it to have make love to it? Well, also with that tip jar, you have to imagine it's not cheap to move that.
Mm-mm. No, he actually, the con went all the way through Monday, and mm-hmm. he actually had to break it down on Sunday night because it takes so long to do, and he had to be back in wherever he was from, like, the next day. But as we were closing up shop on Sunday, because the dealer's room was open Monday as well. Yeah, by the way, this con, 40 hours of dealing time. It is open Thursday through Monday.
Jesus Christ.
Which is more sci-fi traditional. But it is draining. Comic-Con is like that, too. It's like Wednesday through Sunday. Because you have the preview night Wednesday night.
I mean, well, Comic-Con has got so many bodies. I mean...
Yeah, it's just... It's one of those things that's traditional for sci-fi that most furry cons, thank God, have not taken up yet. Mm-hmm. And there is a furry con that has, and I want to let them know that, yeah, we don't really like doing this.
Well, you can do that. I'm not going to set up my table.
I'll explain later. So, they brought in this crate on Sunday evening. I don't really have any way to describe it. I mean, it was, you know, like...
Giant-ass crate.
It's like four of those Klitsch speakers stacked on top of each other. Yeah, it was a giant-ass crate to put this console in and, you know, make sure you could move it safely. Because, God, you don't want to damage it further when he's...
They had to, like, put that on, like, a flatbed and haul it or something.
Yeah, the crate was on one of the flatbed jack things. So what was funny was when I was first there talking to him, you know, his handler, I guess, was like, "You gotta go, you gotta shut it down. You have a panel to go to." And she explained he couldn't leave it on because if he leaves it on, it overheats. And sparks start flying. And she's like, "Well, you've seen Doctor Who." And I was like, "Yeah, but can't you just, you know, thump it and then make it better? Work for the doctor, you know?" Mm-hmm. But I'm just very amused that, yeah, if you leave the console on too long, it'll fucking explode or something.
Overheat, catch on fire.
Yeah.
Very, very authentic.
Yes, absolutely. To the tiniest detail. So other than having pictures of myself with the console, I also had a picture of Fez and Rory.
I saw on them the console. On the, and on the Dalek.
And that came later. Yeah, Tyrion demanded I do that. I also got Fez and Rory on the Throne of Swords. They had a mm-hmm. big promotional version of that there. It said HBO Game of Thrones at the bottom of it. So I was just like, furry is coming.
I still have at some point got to sit you down and make you watch that because it is fantastic.
I may watch, well, some of it's on Netflix now, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's HBO On Demand.
Oh, okay. I may not see it for a while then. So. But yeah, I should check it out sometime. But on Monday, on the last day, they had the gold Dalek out and about. And it actually, it's kind of, fan innovation's cool. It actually works more authentically than the Daleks they use on the show. Because on the show, Nicholas Briggs goes into the sound booth with the ring modulator, and he does all the Dalek voices. Mm-hmm. And the operators have to click the button or whatever to make the lights on the head mm-hmm. match. Well, this one, the person inside it wears a headset microphone.
It modulates.
And it does the modulation there, so they can actually speak, and it sounds like a Dalek. And he was saying something about... "Do you want me to exterminate your child for you? You'll regret this in 15 years." Stuff like that. I was talking to somebody who had like a little kid. Mm-hmm. But Tyrion sneaks up behind a Dalek and he puts Fez on its head. And because the operator can only see through the eye stalk basically has a camera mm-hmm. that goes inside to a monitor. So it's not like he can see that. And of course, Fez has his little Fez on. And this Dalek is rolling around and moving its head and saying it'll exterminate people. And all these people that weren't already taking pictures were running up. And
because there's a badger with a fez.
There's a badger with a fez on it. And so we're all having a great time. People are laughing and stuff like that. And I actually got, I'll show you guys later, I got like 40 seconds of video. The fez riding around on this Dalek's head.
And if nice. It only had like a little mop.
Yeah, really. And then Tyrion runs up after like 5 minutes, swipes Fez, and we make our way back to the table. But, so, big pro column there for Worldcon for me, because, oh my God, I'm such a Doctor Who fan, and all that was loads of fun.
Cool.
It was hella fun. The other great thing was Kit, Kyle, and Brer from Sofa Wolf. We're all there, mm-hmm. and they were working our table, and Kyle was signing some books, and one night we had dinner with them nearly every night, but one night we had dinner with them, and we were also joined by Ursula Vernon and her husband, which I was quite amused by this, because on Ursula's Digger Kickstarter, one of the higher donation levels was have dinner with me at Worldcon, And it was like a $1,500 donation level. And I didn't want to be a dick and tweet it, but I'll totally talk about it on this podcast that nobody listens to. And I was like, hey, this dinner is worth like $1,500. Go me. Actually, no, she's a really cool person. It was a lot of fun to talk to. Everything. And then, now she remembers us, having seen Tiran and I like 4 times now.
Yes. Well, she chose to have dinner with you as opposed to you paying obligated. The money. And she had to be like,
this creepy guy. Oh, my God.
He wants me to put his OC in.
Put my OC into Digger.
Good thing Digger's over with.
I ended the comic because this guy's character just sucked so bad. Now they all die at the end. I don't know if they do or not. That's not a real spoiler. Yeah. But okay, so how is MFM?
Well, MFM is for me primarily a social con. I do help Rama out in the dealer's den, but I don't really go to any panels. I primarily go to Memphis, and to see people. So more or less, it was I got there, said hi to Rama. Did some socializing that night. And then from that point on, it was pretty much get up. Either, like, Friday I started in the den. I usually did, like, the afternoon shift. Went out for lunch. Usually when we go to Memphis, we go to find the most interesting places to eat that we can find. Because we're in the middle of a faraway city. Mm-hmm. We're not going to eat, like, takeout if we can help it. So we ended up, one day we went to like a barbecue joint, and then we went to a pizza place twice. Mm-hmm. First time we got pizza, and we brought back a sandwich to someone at the hotel. We asked what they want. They said something with roast beef. We just got it wrapped up and took it with us. Well, when we got there and we handed it to him, we saw what they gave him, and he raved about how delicious it was. Mm. We went back for lunch the next day.
The food of the gods.
We went back and had subs the next day at the place, and it was equally good. That was the pizza cafe, pizzeria cafe, Italia cafe, something like that. Mm-hmm. We found out that the barbecue place, which was actually really good, and one of our listeners, Vertigo, recommended, was Leonard's. We didn't realize until we were leaving that it was one of the places that had been on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Oh, okay.
So it had been on Triple D, and it's like, oh, wow, yeah. I mean, it was fantastic barbecue. So no regrets there. Let's see. One night we went out to, I forget. One night we went out to, not TGI Fridays, one of the Chili's.
Chili's.
And that was just, okay, we are wasted. It is so late. I am tired. I just need someplace to eat. And nobody wanted to go driving forever, so we went there. That was my one concession to chain food. Mm. It was a really good con. Saw a lot of good people. There was actually, attendance was down this year, which last year was kind of a really quiet con, plus the tornado. I know a lot of the Dallas people that normally went didn't. The den attendance was a little down as far as having dealers there, so they actually had a combined den and alley this year. They still had to pack up and sign up every day, so it's not like they could do a full setup.
Right. What was the final attendance?
I think like 492.
That low?
Yeah, it was down like 70, I think.
Wow.
Which, that's a pretty good chunk.
That's a big percentage of a smaller cons overall attendance. So,
it was, I saw a couple of people like Rama that I usually only see once a year. Ate some good food, hung out with a bunch of the dealers that I know and got to familiarize with others. Mm-hmm. There's a group that cuts custom vinyl out of Knoxville that I know.
Yeah.
They cut me some custom stuff.
I think that's Savern's Rainbow Dash Cutie Mark on his old car.
Mm-hmm. And, I picked out some of their standard stuff. I got a TARDIS that I need to put on my car.
Sweet.
I got them to cut a couple World of Warcraft Horde, which for some reason they didn't have because they had all kinds of other things from furry stuff to just geek stuff. And they didn't have any Warcraft stuff, so I asked them and they cut me a custom Horde. Then they did a couple more to put up on the in their stock because I realized, you know, hey, there's Warcraft nerds.
Do you remember their name? You might want to shout them out.
I'm trying. I think it's like WD Productions.
Okay.
It's I'm trying not to use their real names because that's what I usually I know them by real name. I know Loud Howl is the guy.
That's right.
And God, I don't want to use her real name. And they listen to the show, so they'll kill me.
Right.
I'm sorry, I don't remember your furry name.
So guys, write in and send us a link to your business.
One thing that they do is they're teamed up with a guy that does tribal design vector designs.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when cut out of vinyl, looks really fantastic.
Mm.
So they were cutting a lot of that this weekend. They had pony stuff because they're bronies. Mm-hmm. They just had a bunch of stuff. I guess Friday was really slow. Picked up Saturday. I was supposed to go to lunch with her on Saturday. Walked into the den. It's like, nope. So I end up going out. She went with us for a pizza that night. Let's see. It was... So Friday was not the busiest. Really seemed to pick up Saturday. Sunday morning was fairly busy.
In the den?
The whole con felt like it was kind of bustling. One nice thing this year is they had a free breakfast for all 3 days, and that was basically that cafe downstairs. I don't know how they afforded to do this, but it was, they had everything from waffles that you could, like the presses you put the batter in, it cooks up.
Mm-hmm.
That's always nice.
To eggs, to cereal, to fruit, to...
I saw them tweet about this, I think.
Yogurt. I mean, it was an actual full breakfast, and we're not talking like some, you know how you have continental breakfast at, and it's basically a bowl of cold cereal with some iffy milk, and it might have watery scrambled eggs if you want something hot and some dubious sausage. No. This was, they had like a pan of eggs, they had hard-boiled eggs, they had sausage, it was an actual, like, really good laid-out food for,
You know why they did this, right?
Why?
Because the other hotel in the parking lot has always offered free breakfast.
Yeah, but I just didn't know if it did that quality.
It probably doesn't, but they had to raise the bar. They didn't offer free breakfast at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a few people that were like, yeah, we totally stay at the other hotel because...
They feed us.
It's the same price and they feed us, and it's a newer facility.
Yeah, so...
So they upped their game, which is good.
That's where we stayed 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. We ended up...
Whenever the last time it was.
Let's see. Friday night was just a random group of people drifted into Rama's room. A couple of locals, like Rez from Local, were there. A couple of other people I didn't really know, but I got to know them, and they were nice.
Mm-hmm.
Got to just touch base with, like I said, hung out with Rama a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And Rahata was there as well. So that's the two people I've been palling around with at that con.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the group from the vinyl who... God, I don't want to say her name, but I can't remember the furry name. it was just really fun. I mean, Saturday night, there were some parties going on. Unlike last year, where we couldn't seem to find a gathering to save our lives. So, you know, Rahata and his roommate put one on, fairly quiet, but there were still... We still ran into people that were... There were gatherings going on all over the place. Just last year, it was super subdued. So, all in all, I had a much better time this year than last, and that was kind of the sentiment I heard all around was, wow, this year was a lot better. And I'm not even sure if it's necessarily anything the con did or didn't do. It just seemed like people are in almost a better mood. You know, people were actually organizing. I haven't heard anything good or bad about the panels. I mean, panels are not MFM's usually strong point. I know that some of the special interest groups got together and did various gatherings. I can't remember what ones, but I just remember hearing such and such is going on now, this, that, like this and that meet and greet. So... Hopefully it'll be back up next year. It just seems like last year was a down year. It kind of dragged down attendance this year. Hopefully it'll bounce back next year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so custom vinyl decals, Wolf Dragon Productions.
Yes.
And they are Wolf Dragon Productions for Affinity, just spelled as you would expect it to be. And they are Loud Howl, Spork or myself. Now, she did put her name on this.
What? No. See, her furry name sounds an awful lot like a real name. It's not.
Oh, it's not?
What does it have on?
Shelby Allen.
Yeah, that's her furry name. That's not okay. A real one.
All right. It's one of those ones that sounds like a real name.
The reason I know her real name is because I've got her on Facebook, and that's how we've chatted a lot, so that's how mostly okay. I associate her name, so it's like,
Right. Well, I just shout that out there, Wolf Dragon Productions on Fur Affinity.
And they'll custom cut anything. I think it was about $5 a pop for each of my decals, and like the larger one was like 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. And that was for like, it was probably about 12 inches for my Venture Brother ones. Because it's huge. Oh. You probably saw it on Facebook.
I don't think so.
I tweeted it. Either way.
Okay.
It's gigantic. It covers about half of a really large laptop back. And
oh, was this the one where you were like, I'm prepping my laptop, and it looked like it was a photo of the laptop into the orders room, but taken from behind? Okay, yep. I think I said it.
Yeah. Big
Venture. Oh, my God. They've got a vinyl furry stick figure family.
Oh, yeah. They've got a whole catalog of them.
Nice.
Look, there's the picture.
That's pretty funny.
That's adorable.
And the person that they work with, if you don't see it, the person who did that will custom doodle you one so you can do, your family.
Right.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, they're really nice people, and they cut really good stuff. So.
Yeah, I've never gotten anything from them, and I keep, meaning to, but then again, I didn't go to MFM this year. So.
Well, they'll mail stuff to you.
Yeah. And I'm not sure what we're doing next year, whether we're just going to take Labor Day weekend off or whether we're going to go to a con or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Tyrion wants to try Dragon Con at one point.
I've heard really good things about Dragon Con.
But I'm like, it's
so big.
Yeah. And I'm not really, I don't want to go to.
It's big and it's in Atlanta and.
Yeah, I think I'm really testing my luck if I go to Atlanta twice in a year. Mm-hmm. I can only dodge knives for so long, and so, I'm there for FWA, so.
So Dragon Con, but pretty much Rama's already asked if I wanted to help next year, so long as I can afford to go, I'll probably end up keep going back.
Uh-huh.
So, but,
luckily, it's a pretty low-cost trip. I mean, yeah, you're paying for the hotel, but the gas isn't too bad because it's only 8 hours away.
What mostly kicks our butt is that me and Sarah really like to do the foodie thing and eating out. Well, that's kind of our thing, is we like...
Yeah.
We like going out and exploring the places that we go. We kind of go to the con because that's where the people are, and it's kind of a good place to converge, but it's kind of like we stay at the hotel, but we go do stuff around it, and mm-hmm. then we socialize with people. I mean, to be fair, if it wasn't for me helping out in the den, we'd probably be in and out of the con a lot more and just bouncing around and looking at stuff and then coming back and socializing at night.
Right.
You know, come to the con, swing through the dealer's den, say hi to people, and then probably come back for the, parties in the evening. Yeah. If I wasn't working the den. But I am, and I like that, so that's fine.
Yeah. It's what you do.
It is what I do. For good or ill.
You cannot escape running the dealer's den.
Don't get ill. You don't want conquered.
I'm going to find something to knock. Well, that's plaster. I need... No, that's not wood either.
Here.
There's the... Yeah,
knock on wood. No con crud yet.
Yeah.
Knock, knock. But it's summer, and usually I tend to have better luck with summer gatherings. It's the winter ones, like, unfortunately, Fiesta, where I tend to get sicker.
Fucking Fiesta. No, that's an awesome con. You should totally go.
Wait a minute. We read this one last week.
The other thing is that...
Then archive it, bitch!
I have to double check, but Fiesta, from what I hear, our room block is already good way filled.
It's stretched to the limit. I don't think it can take any more.
No. There's still room. I'm just saying. It's getting there, but it's not quite to Anthrocon's, fill out in like... 48 hours.
You sure? Full. I want to start a run on the bank and be like, y'all better reserve now, or
so
you fucked.
We'll see. How far into it are we? Should we stop and save before we?
Shit, I don't know.
It's been a while.
We've talked a lot.
We had a lot of con reports to do.
Yeah,
that is awesome artwork.
Which one? Oh wow, that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, and actually, this one from Zuck Buziel. Actually, that was the one he left us a shout. Or no, he contacted us on Twitter. Uh-huh. And was like, make sure please read my email. And it's like, we had a lot of emails, but we'll get to it. So
okay.
That's the first email we'll hit this week. After
so we put a pin in that, and then we'll stop and save, and then we'll be right back.
Because we talk a lot.
Yep.
What does the fox say?
I found a nice thing.
Oh, you found yes, a thing.
I found a thing.
It's very Murray.
Ooh, that is.
I like. So,
for the girl or trap in your life?
Well, I just brought up adamandeve.com, and that was kind of the thing that was on the front page. It was like, yeah, we're doing that this week. So this week is worth it just for the looking, even if you don't buy it. It's a two-piece lace and bow garter chemise set. I think that's pronounced right. I don't know. it's kind of this black, lacy little top with, like, garters, and it is really, really tasty. And I say this because I like looking at women in lingerie.
Looks good on girls or boys with an eye.
Yes. Let's see. So it's basically kind of a pinstripe. It's got a lace panel down the front, a little tiny frill on the bottom. It's kind of a black smoky-ish gray. So it's worth it just to look. It's, let's see, it's made of a mix of nylon, polyester, and spandex. Comes in small, medium, and large. Let's see, it's made by Renee Rolfe. Something like that. It says gender female, but we know the twinks in our lives, and well, they might like it anyways. But either way, it looks really, really hot. The price is $32.95. However, we've got a lovely thing called a coupon code, and it is not KNOT. It gets you half off of one item and free shipping. And yeah, so this one, it'll knock off $8 in shipping, and it'll cut the price in half, which, if I can get the page, can come up. Yeah, so instead of paying $32 and almost $33, it'll be $16.48, and you won't have to pay the $8 in shipping. So
awesome.
I don't know about you, but I like knocking off that $8 too. It just really helps.
Mm.
So you can buy it for Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not green. He won't wear it. I know. So yeah, that was my little naughty num num of the week.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with imagining hot boys in
the frilly little lace panel.
Oh yeah, the sexy lingerie.
All right, so shall we read some freaking emails?
Yes, I will start with this one because it has the L-shaped bypass.
Oh dear, what?
Yes, that is an official thing now that emails can be marked with the L-shaped bypass, and they will not be read by Shiva.
Well, fuck him. Okay.
Do you want to read walls of text, Shiva?
Maybe. I don't know.
No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot of emails in here.
Yes. I've gone and cleared out a couple of emails that weren't actually emails, and one of the Tumblr asks, which we've addressed in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering where somebody went.
Yeah, actually, that was one I wanted to address right quick. When it comes to past cast members, stop asking us where they are and what happened to them. They have moved on with their lives. They're doing their own things. Some left under good terms. Some left under bad terms. We don't want to talk about it. So we won't address any further questions about where former cast members or guests are.
Yeah. Problem solved.
So.
Okay, so this unsubjected, but then it has a subject. Much needed advice and closure. Dear Not Cast Crew, this email is more than likely off topic, since I never really know what the topic of the episode is unless I'm listening to it. We have an FA page. You can go look at it. I would like to give this email the L-shaped bypass because it is a wall of text. My mate and I have been together for a little over 2 years now and has been a long-distance relationship. I know not all of you are very supportive of. He lives in New Jersey, is 22, and stuck in his mother. Oh, my God. Stuck with his mother.
More
on that to come. I live in New Mexico, I'm 18, and still living with my own mom, but I have my associate's degree in college this year, so possibly before I turn 19 or right after. We both love each other very much and text each other daily, mainly RPing, but real talking as well. I explain my situation, then his, and then the big situation. Basically, I feel that I need to stay here in the New Mexico, Texas area for college in order to take advantage of the New Mexico State Lottery Scholarship. I know that I need to graduate college so I can have a good career. As far as what I want to be, I'm still trying to decide. I practically have my associate's degree in my hands and will finally be able to say goodbye to the community college here. Having known my mate for about 6 years now, he's been there for me through bad and the good times. I come from a Mormon family who's I've come out to, and they've all accepted me. In fact, I came out on Facebook and have been genuinely surprised at the amount of support that I've been shown by my entire family.
That's pretty nice. Cool.
Mm. I have a license and a wonderful 99 green Chevy Malibu that was my mom's college car. Upon getting my associate's degree, my mom has agreed to let either get me a brand new vehicle, since neither me nor her are a fan of used vehicles. Okay, now for my Wolfie. He's 22, only has his high school diploma, and has one job and is working really hard and trying to get a second one. His mom has a job as well, but they are both, unfortunately, just scraping by. His stepdad passed away a while ago, and from what I can understand, they didn't know the whereabouts of his drunk father except for a call that they got from him about once a month. His mom and this guy are divorced. My Wolfie does not have a license or a car and only has little experience behind the wheel. 22. His mother has always made sure he gets fed, even if it means that she can't eat.
Mm.
He loves her dearly and hates the idea of leaving her because he knows that she can't pay the bills on her own. In her situation, I want to go and pick him up and have him come live with me after I have my associates, pick a college, and get an apartment. We've talked about this and have agreed that if we're able to do this, we would get other roommates as well to help with rent and to make a less awkward living together so that we could actually date in person and see how it goes. The reason behind having roommates other than each other is that it will prevent us from being tempted to just yift it up all the time and instead work on a face-to-face relationship. The problem is, as I've stated before, he doesn't want to feel like he's dooming his mother by leaving her, knowing she can't afford to pay the bills with the one job she has. The other problem is that he would have to find a job down here, and having only a high school diploma, that'd be hard. Another thing, I would have to schedule my classes around my job when I get one, his, in order for transportation methods, considering he... I'm talking really fast. I would have to schedule my classes around my job when I get one, and his, in order for transportation methods, considering he has no license or vehicle, which is something I am more than willing to do. I'm also willing to help him get a license and possibly a car. So here's the real question, I guess. Does it sound like a good idea? How do I convince him to come? What do you recommend? How many roommates would be appropriate? And because this won't happen for at least another year, what do you recommend we do to strengthen our relationship? I've considered actual phone calls, and since his old laptop doesn't have a built-in camera, he doesn't have a camera to attach to it. We can't face-to-face chat on Skype, but don't know how to ask him if he'd be interested in just a regular phone call or not. He's very sweet, loving, and caring, so it's not like I'm scared to ask him, I just don't know how to bring it up. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like any more info, feel free to email me. The Fennec Fox, Zach Buziel. So.
Well, the last question's easy. Just ask him.
Yeah. So
why wouldn't he want to have a real-life phone call? I mean, there's really no reason not to.
Yeah.
You totally should be doing that already if you're in a long-distance relationship.
And you know. Webcams are cheap. I'm sure he's got a birthday or something coming up. I am one. Mail it up to him.
Get a cheap... I mean, yeah, you can get an okay one for like $20, I thought.
Yeah. Webcams are real cheap nowadays.
How old is the writer?
Okay, 20? The writer is 18.
And the boyfriend's 22.
Yes. The writer seems like he's got his shit together pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting his associates done at 19 and then going on to regular college, which means he started at like 17, so that's pretty good.
Right.
And the fact that he's staying in his state to get his degree, thumbs up.
Yeah, totally makes it a lot less expensive.
As for the other dude, 22, living at home, no car, no license, no experience.
I'd say
22.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe up in the Northeast they have public transportation and the like, but that's just unthinkable out here in the Southwest.
I think it's for the next year he's going to have to see about getting himself consolidated. If you move in with him, he's going to have to bring some stuff to the table, which means over the next year he's going to have to see about either getting a better paying job or a second job. Save up, try to get at least a clunker or something.
Well, I'm just going to raise my hand and say something really obvious. He has a 99 Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets his degree, his mom's going to buy him something new. You still got the 99 green Malibu.
Unless he has to give it back to his mom.
Well, fair enough. But
it was his mom's car in college, I'm sure. She has her own car.
SUV or something of her own.
So as long as they don't use it as a trade-in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which they might do.
Yeah.
A 99 Malibu ain't going to get your shit in trade.
True.
So
it'd be better to keep it for your dude if that would alleviate an immediate problem.
Yeah.
And Malibus are fucking common as shit. Their parts aren't that expensive.
Yeah, Dewey kind of start solving his problems. Either if it's get a second job, start socking money away so that when he gets out there, if he can't afford to buy a clunker or something out where he's at, have him sock away the money so that when he gets out, if he move, if you convince him to move him out, then so that he has a chunk of change, so that instead of driving something iffy across country, you can get something that's good for like a really local putter around. Save the money, buy it when you get there. Or else just for some stuff to help you get set up, like buy dishes and everything else. Bedding. As far as two roommates, I don't know how it is out there, but here in Dallas, usually two bedrooms are probably going to be the most economical. I know when you start getting up to three bedrooms, it's going to be, you know. I mean,
and not a lot of complexes have three bedrooms.
Yeah, that's just it. They're rare. And you usually start getting into family housing. You're probably going to be, if you think you two are going to be a couple, you're probably going to want to look at getting either finding someone to split rent with, so you guys would pay basically a quarter. You would pay one, your boyfriend would pay another quarter, and whether or not the person who moves in is either solo, or if they come as a couple, then that's how it breaks down. I've always broke down my rent by bedrooms. If you get a bedroom, then whoever stays in that bedroom breaks down the rent among them. So two bedrooms, you know, is half and half, whoever splits. Right now, because with, you know, we're in a triad, it's pretty much a third comes out of every paycheck, but we're also pretty much one big financial snarl at this point in time. And plus we're a couple with three of us, you know, I mean, there's romantic entanglement.
A triple.
A triple. But usually when it comes
to triple occupancy, like a hotel room.
I was thinking more like a baconator.
But usually, thank you, Severin. You're such
a triple with bacon.
So when you brought in the extra guy, you effectively doubled the meat.
So anyways, but that's how we've broken it down. So if the person comes in and they don't have a partner, they're still paying half because they get a bedroom and a bathroom all to themselves, and everybody shares the common area. If we've lived with other couples, and again, the couple pays half, and however they divvy up rent is up to them. You probably want to look and see what's available in your area. See if three bedrooms are more common. It's also the more personalities you get involved, the more
potential volatility.
Yeah. So I would guess one or two, depending on if you can find a couple or a single dude, and probably look at splitting a two-bedroom. But, you know, that's me, and your mileage may vary.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we're all kind of on the same page here, because it's like, have him save money, and pretty much what you said, it's not terribly controversial or difficult, I don't think. He's going to have to learn to drive a car.
The other thing, because
you don't get around in the Southwest without a vehicle.
The other thing about dooming his mother to be on her own, at the same time, it might be a year's worth. And she, I know older women who have started, like, they set up shop again like everybody else and live with a friend. That's what my mom did when she was on her own for a while until she got solvent. And then she just went down to a smaller apartment that she could just live in by herself.
I was also surprised how much my mom adapted to me not being there.
Yeah.
To still get shit done that she needed to get done and get to work and all that. You'd be surprised. Also, as a parent, every parent has to be prepared for that day when their child leaves the nest. You know, 22, 24, 28, they get a few extra years, but, you know, that can't last forever.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to move out and live their own lives at a point. And, you know, especially if, basically, he needs to tell her this now. You know, Mom, I'm moving out in a year. to go to move into the Southwest, and however he's out, I don't know if he's out or not, but however he needs to phrase it, but he needs to give her time to prepare and then let her know this is going on now, and then she can save up or find a roommate or work on finding
a different housing,
a smaller place that is more affordable or something like that.
Or rent out a room if she owns their house.
Totally. This all has to do with planning, and the sooner you start, the easier it is, because you've got time to deal with any hiccups or speed bumps along the way.
The other thing, it kind of, maybe it sets up, kind of tweaks a little bit of my worry, is they said that they've been together 2 years, and I'm nervous about talking to him on the phone. And it sounds like Pearlie hasn't really spent any time, like, talking to the dude.
Yeah, is this entirely over text, this relationship?
Because if not, you have to start treating like it like this is a real life thing. This is, so talk to them via voice, whether it's via chat or...
Yeah, you know, I'd almost say priority one is you need to meet this guy in person before anybody moves anywhere.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because, I mean, if you don't know what he looks like, you haven't talked to him on the phone, you don't know his personality outside of a chat room or an AIM window.
And making, you know, just making a leap across the entire United States for someone you haven't really had any communication with besides typing is...
Yeah, this is the barest slither above picking up a random guy on Growler and moving in with them.
I mean, it's, yeah, granted, it's 2 years, but it's still
just above that level. You know so little, you need to see a picture, and you need to meet him in person
and talk to him. I mean,
just, and talk to him.
Oh
yeah.
God,
talk to him first and foremost. Get to know each other on the phone and see how well you two interact, or how well you click. I was trying to say both at the same time. You know, in a more real-life situation, even though it's on the phone. And then after you talked on the phone for a while, you get a better feel for them as to whether you guys are going to click or not, or click or act, which is actually pretty cool.
Click and interact, it's one word.
Yeah, yeah, click or act, click to act. Do that first, and then you need to meet him in person.
Yep.
You know,
at a con.
As long as possible. Either at a con, or you just go out there and meet him.
Because you don't want to go into this sight unseen.
Mm-hmm.
As much as you think you may know this person from their text, you don't know them in person.
Yeah, and people can be great online, and then... you two might have terrible interaction in real life. And not saying that either of you are a bad person or anything, but people either click or they don't. And, you know, one or the two of you may have some horrible fucking habit or personality tick or something that just drives you batty,
mm-hmm.
and that you can't move past, you know, or that you guys just argue about everything, you know, or it turns out one of you is a slob and one of you is a neat freak or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yeah, that's shit that you can address, but it's something that you really should know before moving in with each other.
Yes.
You know, preferably. Not everything is going to come up, but... You know, you need, basically, this is research that you need to do before jumping into the apartment pool.
Okay.
I think we slaughtered that one pretty well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good. So, Archivics. I don't know which one it was.
It was the one on from the 18th.
Oh, that goes back a ways.
Yeah, well, we haven't done an episode for 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We didn't do one last week because we're all out of town.
Oh.
Or,
wow. All right. I had not realized it had been so long.
So yep. Saverin's next?
I just read this last one. So Fuzz or Shiva.
Okay. I can go then. I'll read one of the anonymous Tumblr questions. What does the cast think of the news this week that FCN is no longer going to be running? As people connected with or directly involved with con staffing / board of directors membership yourselves, can you appreciate their position regardless of whether or not you feel it was the right choice?
What was their reason? Was that the one that the con hotel?
No, that was Indie Fur Con.
Yeah.
No. The one that was due to the TSA.
That fuckery. Was...
MFM.
No,
Rocket City. This was FCN. It was in Novi, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They said that they had originally planned to run only 5 years, and due to popular demand, they added a sixth year last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically, it is a lot of work.
It is
to a run a con.
Yup.
And they were ready to step down. It sounds like they had a problem where the founders. We're hitting the burnout point, and they didn't have anyone that was capable or willing of taking their place.
Yeah.
So they were like, basically, we're done. We promised 5 years. We gave you six. Now we're closing up shop.
Yeah, it's
Huh?
GG nerds.
What's GG?
Good game.
Okay. So to me, I'm like. You know, you don't want to leave your baby in the hands of people you don't trust not to fuck it up. So if they were unable to find people that they trusted and believed in to continue running it, then that makes sense to me. But, I mean, it's a time investment. In some cases, it's a money investment. And it's also the other thing that they pointed out was that basically they ran their con like a big party. They wanted it to be a big party. It's the emphasis of it.
Mm-hmm.
And a party is really hard to maintain control over when you hit 1,300 people.
Yes. I can certainly appreciate their position and their reasoning because, I mean, you know, exactly like you said,
yeah.
You don't want to leave this in the hands of somebody you don't necessarily trust. I mean, us at Fiesta, we work very hard for what we do, but, you know, we've survived some changes and...
Mm-hmm.
Adapted and...
We're like the Borg.
But there's still, you know, a core group of people that have been here since year one.
Right.
But, you know, I think that at this point, the con itself is sufficiently well run that even if...
Some people drop.
You know, I mean, I think even if Guardian, which... God forbid that happens.
Don't say that.
I mean, even if Guardian, we would have the people that would be able to fill in because we have a really big staff. But you know,
what if the entire board were killed in a tragic microwave accident?
Then
we might have issues.
There might be a problem, but we'd all be dead because, well, we're on the board.
There comes a time for when the party ends, and sometimes it's because things break. Sometimes it's because hotel contracts. Fuck up. Sometimes it's because, you know, you burn out and, you know, it goes from there. It's a lot of commitment, too.
It's a full-time job.
Almost, yeah.
It's a full-time.
Yeah. And, you know, none of us that aren't on the FCN staff or board, or however they were set up, can really speculate. You know, I'm not going to, you know,
criticize
their position or criticize their decision or whatever because I don't know all the facts. So I'll just take it at face value. The reasoning that they gave was very solid to me, and I could totally see that as a valid decision. And if you're not on their staff and know all the ins and outs of it, then, because apparently they're starting to get some abuse. I saw one of the co-chairs, Gurr, I think it was, tweeted that he's starting to get a lot of shit from people in the area for shutting down the con. Like, sure, people are upset, but nobody's like, thanks for six great years of this con. You know, apparently they're giving him a shit about it, you know? And it's like... Unless you know everything they know, like, this pisses me off because everyone's a fucking armchair expert.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I talked to some fucking armchair small business owner that was like, well, you should do this, you should do that, you should hire somebody to do this so that you can do this more efficiently. And it's like, yeah, you don't know my position and what my life is like. And we don't know what kind of position they're in and how much work they put in and how their operation was run.
You know, in our case and in many, 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 many FurCon's cases, we're not paid for this.
Yeah.
We're doing this because we want to give back to the community. And when we want to stop, that's as far as we'll go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're sure as fuck aren't paid for Fiesta.
Mm. Yeah.
We put money in.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's better for them to go out on top than to limp along and slowly fade out like a sad dog.
Or get to the point where you want to slash your wrist instead of do something.
Yeah. So my advice to all the people that do not like this or are criticizing this or are being shits to the original founders, you now have a gap to fill in your local community. Start a replacement con.
Get good.
It can happen because, you know, conference shut down and further confusion started up.
Mm-hmm.
And it grew and it's been going like 10 years now and it's doing just fine. Other cons have died and been replaced by conventions that maybe they start small and they eventually pick back up again.
I mean, shit, how many first-year fur cons have we had this year?
UnthroCon,
Biggest Little Fur Con,
Furlandia.
Didn't FangCon relaunch this year somewhere else?
Was that its first year?
No, it ran the previous year, but I think it had to relaunch.
Oh. Was this their first year?
I think so. Where's
all
that
I
one?
Know is there's a ton of little ones popping up. Yeah,
there's
up
the
all
Arizona
over.
One, yeah. The Central Plains Fur Con.
Yep, and there's also the new one, Fur Reality, that the Ringtail Cafe guys are involved in.
Is that in Kentucky, I guess?
Cincinnati. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have to wonder how many of these ones popping up, how they're all going to remain solvent, but I guess we'll see.
Well, I mean, at least furry cons don't have a central canon that they have that they're exhausting, like pony cons.
Yeah.
Speaking of cons that did a similar FCN thing, EQLA, which was a very successful pony con, did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The chairwoman didn't find anybody, didn't have anybody that was willing or that she felt was competent, so she's like, well, that was fun. Pulls the plug. Donates their shit. Donates money to charity, keeps their shit in storage for maybe a run in 2015 under something other banner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the nature of the business. Not everybody's going to be WorldCon or Acon that goes for, what, 71 years. Yeah. Or Acon's 25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have fresh blood.
Mm-hmm.
And competent people willing to work.
Yeah, so you need help.
So guess what? If you like conventions and want to see them persist in your community,
help.
Yeah. Volunteer. Totally. And for your DFW locals, Keo will love you if you volunteer, since he's our volunteer coordinator for Fiesta. Yep.
And, yeah, so.
And totally volunteer at a con before you try to run one.
Oh, yeah.
So that you kind of see some of an, oh, God, totally attend a con before you try to run one.
Yes.
Because I was listening to an interview on another show that I'm not going to say which one it was, and the guest was like, yeah, we've never really gone to cons before, and I just, like, I was up to my elbow before I realized that if I swallow my arm, I will choke to death and die when he said that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, moving on. Sheva, do you want to read one?
Yeah, I've been kind of skipping through a couple of them. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'll probably do two. This one's just really cute because I'm going to have to pass it on. Is Avery as adorable in person as he sounds? He makes me tingle in a good way. Aww. I'm so going to just send him that.
Totally, yes.
I just saw that. It's like, I'm going to screen cap that and I'm going to send that over to Avery.
I was wondering why you were taking a picture of your iPad.
I was just going to, as soon as I can get back on data, I'll boop. Because.
Cute.
So we'll have to poke him for that. Let's see.
What, are you going to answer the question?
What, is he as cute?
Yeah.
Is he adorable? He's adorable.
He's adorable. He's a dragon.
Yes. And he's good on the stairs. let's see.
Was that it? Did you want to do another one, or do you want to? Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. I was listening to the latest episode, Why, while playing SRIV. What's SRIV?
Saints Row 4.
And decided something you guys were rambling on about something, and it reminded me of back in the day when I was in the Air Force. I was dared to smear Icy Hot on my junk at a hurricane party. The skin peeled off. Just figured I'd share. By the way, this is M. Death Mech.
So, don't put Icy Hot on your junk, kids.
I don't know why you would ever want to, but...
He was dared.
Yeah, there's...
He was in the military. He had to, you know...
Yeah, bro!
Man. He had to keep his machismo in check.
Manly!
Yeah.
So...
That the skin peeled, I'm just like,
So I will pick another email.
Okay.
So this one is from Jeeves. Subject, DTMFA advice for younger furs. Serious letter, suggest pre-show reading to see if you think it's suitable. Pre-show preparing?
What do you think this is, Bronyville?
I hear those guys do a pretty good show. dear Notcast, I don't have a specific question regarding when to DTMFA, but I do have a story to share on the subject which I think would benefit any younger or particularly red badge listeners out there. And I know you're out there, kids. When I was new to the fandom, 14 years old, I met a guy through a furry site, and we started chatting. Then we started RPing. Soon, just after I turned 15, he was my very first mate. And he has quotation marks around it. This was back in 2004, of course, so I'm not even sure this guy's in the fandom still. But in case he is, I'll not mention any names, though God knows he probably deserves it. Being 15 and very much in love with a guy for the first time, I was all too happy to throw myself headlong into long distance but totally lifelong full-force soulmates and the works relationship with him. This included indulging his requests, despite my initial concerns, to take photos and videos of myself for him. Just my only just 15-year-old self. For him, for a guy who was then in his late 20s.
Oh my god. Oh. My face is doing the face melt thing from Raiders.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we may not survive this email. Of course, at the time, I didn't think anything of it. I was just happy to have someone paying attention to me in any affectionate way. As at the time, my younger brother was in the hospital suffering from leukemia. He's fine now. And my parents were understandably pretty busy looking after him, leaving me, the quiet but responsible teenager, to fend for himself most days. Needless to say, after about a year, my parents found out what was going on and freaked out. I look back and I see precisely why. I believe that if I had been over 18, I would not have been interested in... if I had been over 18, I would not have interested him. I believe I was groomed, and though indirectly, I was abused by him through the exploitative pictures and videos he got me to send him. The relationship had quite an impact on me over the following years, a very negative impression that affected my real life in multiple ways. Thankfully, I feel as though I have fully moved on from that time in my life now, but I still live with the memory of what I did and how dirty it did and still makes me feel. So my advice to younger furs listening to this is simple. I know it may feel really nice and really special to have someone being attracted to you, even if it is just online, but if you are just a teenager, not legally old enough to be deemed an adult, do not get involved in a relationship with a much older person. At that age, even a relationship with someone your own age is tricky enough for your emotional well-being. If there's the added risk that you could be groomed and used by a pedophile anywhere on the internet, it should be worth your taking the time to step back and realize, you know what, this really isn't worth the risk. Don't get into a situation where you need to DTMFA because you're worried you're being abused. Don't even get into such a relationship to begin with. Trust me, it is not worth the pain it causes in the long run. Jeeves the Roo, Scotland. Wow, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for writing that. That's pretty hardcore. Yeah, don't send people dick photos if you're underage.
Yeah, that's dangerous to you and them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's so creepy, so...
My turn?
Yep.
Thoughts on cum. Do you like cum? the taste, the smell, the texture as it explodes up your nose.
Into your sinuses.
Into your sinuses. And then
you have brain babies.
And it eats through your brain and impregnates your brain. And then you blow your nose and fertilize and eggs pop out. It's like that scene in Total Recall where Arnold Schwarzenegger pulls the big egg thing out of you. Get your ass to Mars. Have a brain baby.
So, how about you finish reading the ask?
Okay.
I'm glad this is an anonymous one.
Also, for the ones to whom it applies, how big of a load do you shoot, and how much do you prefer to have shot at you? So, thoughts on cum?
Cum's okay. The smell is usually kind of okay. The taste can be real iffy, because depending on diet, you know?
Yeah.
One thing that you did miss with your little ramble there was how do you like it be portrayed in art? And I'm always kind of amused when it's like, you know, it's one dude and the bottom is just goated. Like somebody took a bucket and just poured it all over them. This viscous white sugar water.
I'm also amused when it looks like it has the consistency of Ready Whip. Because I've seen that art where it's all like going up and down, and it just looks like I just sprayed a Ready Whip can all over this twink's body.
It's like, have you not actually seen cum?
Yeah.
I mean,
when it looks like they've been hit by a fire hose.
And the ones that shade it just a little bit to make it look more like a real fluid, but they do it wrong and it looks kind of yellow. And you either think that person has some unfortunate disease, or it's a water sports piece. Mm-hmm. And in which case, that's the weirdest piss I've ever seen.
Yes.
So
be very careful with your cum. Watch out for the artists that know how to do fluids. So I like watching guys cum and watching myself cum, because I think cum shooting out of a cock is hot. But I'm not a swallower, and I'm not really into, like, once it's out of the dick, it loses all appeal to me. Like, I'm like, this is gross.
I need to go clean it.
Get it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm like that. I didn't get into the whole, some people are really into cum.
Yes.
And never really got into that, so.
Yeah.
I don't. The smell, I haven't really noticed.
I haven't noticed the smell really either.
Yeah. It's very basic.
Yeah.
It smells like life.
The taste, it really varies. For the most part, no. I don't like the bitter kind of taste that sits on the back of your tongue.
Does Sarah taste minty?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't taste bad. He's one of the few I can stand.
Mm.
But most of the time, I just don't like that bitter note that's on. It really depends on diet, mind you.
Yeah.
And it can even vary for a given person,
mm-hmm.
depending on. I like watching guys come. I'm not quite as immediate, like, ew, get it off me. But usually I'm like, okay, I need to go get cleaned up now.
Yeah. I'm not the kind of guy that wants to snuggle for an hour with the slowly cooling body fluids all over me.
Well, usually, if I'm going to cuddle, it's like mop it up first, then we'll cuddle.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I don't want to finger paint with it.
You don't want to do the thing where you take a scoop of it and go, Simba.
No.
Across his forehead.
I have done that. Only it was like, the smear. It's like, oh, hey, that. And he's like, you did not just do that. Yep. He's like, ew. It's like, dude, what do you think is all over your cock? I keep waiting for him to do it back to me. But anywho, that's as close to, that's not standard behavior. That was a one time I'm going to get you. And I did.
He stuck it right up his nose. Like,
Actually, it was like a stripe right down the bridge of his nose.
Oh my.
Jeez.
And he's like, it's like, well,
it feels all sticky and gross.
You made it.
It should go back into you and continue the great circle of you coming.
But no, usually it's like, okay, I'm done we've mopped up a little. Now I really have to go clean up because, oh, I don't know how it is for guys, but for girls, it's like, ugh. And plus, there's always the urge to not leave a snail trail on the bed. You hadn't heard that term?
I've heard the term, just not applied to women.
Really? Guys, huh. Yeah, but yes, leave a snail trail. My sister, my darling little sister, taught me that term.
That is so funny.
And that kind of explains my sister in a nutshell. So, yes, I think we've expounded our love of, or meh.
Our meh of cum.
Our yeah. meh. It's okay. It serves its purpose. It's got its limited hotness, and then it can just go away.
Yeah. To me, that's I like it when a guy is so hot that he's leaking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that little
bead.
Yeah, that just kind of shows the hotness level, and yeah, shooting a load is super hot, no matter who it is.
And then get a towel.
And then get a towel, yeah. Get it out of my hair! Get it out of my eyes! Ah!
It burns! Wait, no God!
So, Shiva, do you want to read one?
Sure. Let me archive this one.
I did already.
Oh, well.
The one about the cum.
What the hell?
And the brain babies.
Let's see. You already replied to the one about...
Yeah, roommate, rescue or not to rescue.
So, I don't think we should address that.
Okay.
Oh, we can. I mean, but you
are... No, it's okay. You already did it.
Okay.
Because it seemed to be time sensitive and we were all going to be off for a week.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's see. New school, no fool. Dear Knockass crew, fortunately for me, I have not suffered from a DTMFA relationship yet in my life. However, this is likely a result of my relative lack of dating until recently. With that out of the way, I have good news, great news, and bad news. The good news is that by the time this is read, I will have completed my first week of school at Arizona State University, and will be close to finishing my second.
Woo!
The classes I have gone to so far seem to be amazing, and I'm loving the freedom of living away from home, although my parents are only 15 minutes away if I need them. What could be better than this? I'm getting out from under my parents' thumb, and I've been able to meet two furs in real life, and community assist for my dorm is even a brony. As for the bad news, I'm sad to report that I'm caught up with all the podcast backlog. We'll make more. This means I have to wait the torturously long week between episodes. Another big change has occurred since my last email. I have officially joined Shiva as feline. Imagine a big blue lynx with fennec-like ears. I've come to this change as a result of not quite being comfortable with the reputation of huskies and my love of felines.
What's wrong with the reputation of huskies?
I'm going to be like, huskies.
God, live with the one. Finally, I have a question that may or may not be within the knowledge of the Knockcasters to answer. How much of student loan should I take out for college? I'm studying automotive engineering and with the potential to make $75,000 a year after graduation. With this in mind, I will be less than $3,000 short each semester out of over $11,000. I have been hunting for scholarships with even more fervor than a fox quest for dicks, but I always seem to come up shorter than... Okay, no. I'm leaving that out. Thanks for all the advice, Neo Malik. So, how much student loans?
As little as fucking possible.
Yeah. You know, it actually sounds like he'll be okay, though. I mean, if I assume that's a four-year degree and he's only $3,000 short, then he'd only end up owing $12,000.
And that's,
so that's yeah. not...
Well, if there's a... Is it some... It's semester. So...
Oh, each semester.
I'm going to guess there's a spring and a fall.
Ooh. Okay.
Three.
So that would make it $24,000.
So $6,000 times 4, 24. That's still not horrible. I mean,
it's a lot, but
it's worse. First, the other thing you consider is the thing he said is he has the potential to make $75,000 a year. The important word there being the potential.
Yeah.
And right now, and for right now, the job market sucks for people your age, or the people that are coming out of college. Are really fucked because they're competing with all the people our age that have just been laid off. And
it might be wise to do like two semesters and then go work some, come back. I mean, it really depends. Do what you can though to mitigate that at all possible.
Yeah. They've also said if you're in school right now, stay in school because you don't want to be on the job market right now. You'll have to kind of see what things are like in 2 or 4 years when you graduate. Well, that, I mean, that doesn't help you now because you can't see into the future. But, you know, I can only hope that shit is better in 4 years as far as the job market and being able to find something. But, yeah, you want to take the absolute minimum that you can. And college is a time where, like, if you're really devoted to the idea of college where you're learning and you're getting your degree for something better in the future, then now is the time to kind of sacrifice and scrimp and not spend a lot of money on shit that you don't need. Like, any way you can save money at this point is going to definitely help you out to minimize as much as you can what you need to take out in student loans. Because, excuse me, student loans sometimes get sold to other loan companies. They're trying to fuck around with the interest rate right now. Also, even if every shit hits the fan and you have to file bankruptcy in the future, your medical bills go away, your credit cards go away. The only thing that doesn't go away are student loans. Mm-hmm. They cannot be written off. So you're basically stuck with them forever until you pay them off. So keep them as low as possible.
Yes.
And live off of as little money as you can while you're in college. And that's not an exact amount, and I can't give an exact amount because I don't know everything about your situation and where you're living and what the economics are of the college and the area that you're in. So that's really general advice, but, you know, hopefully that helps out a little bit.
Yep.
So, Savage's turn.
Okay. Craigslist ruined my life. Me and my boyfriend slash mate Devin were together for an amazing 2 years until I decided to go to Craigslist and make a male-for-male personals ad. Frowny face. I miss him so much, and it torments me every day of my life. And all of that, nobody ever came over to do anything with me. I had a lot of guys answer the ad through email, but nobody was ever man enough to come over and go through with it. So I never physically cheated, and I lost love of my life. And I want to share the story with people and furries know to stay off that website and please stay faithful. Frowny face. Please don't make this mistake I made. Thanks, Notcast. Slack.
Oh, God.
So let's just leave that as no comment.
There's
he has learned his lesson and important warning for other people.
Yeah, learn from his mistake. Don't do as he does.
Yep. Next email.
Okay. Is that me? That's me. Okay. Well, I'm going to read this really short Tumblr ask and then do another one. Anonymous asked, did the stereotypes about foxes being sluts start with foxes eating chickens, a.k.a. cocks? No.
No.
None of us really know precisely where that reputation came from, but willing to bet that's not it.
Yeah.
Also, somebody mentioned earlier on one that we didn't, they sent a link to the YouTube video, the What Does the Fox Say? We know about that, obviously. If you haven't heard it, go check it out. Just Google What Does the Fox Say. It's a Norwegian parody humor band. It is a really amusing video, and I expect to hear it at dances at FurryCons in the future.
It's kind of like a what the fuck video.
Yeah, it's very what the fuck. I found it amusing. Okay, so are you sure we haven't read this one? Wait, it's only from the 23rd. Okay. What are some of the funniest sex-related stories you guys have ever heard from within the fandom? No names necessary, of course. Smiley face. Funny sex stories within the fandom.
Within the fandom?
So one I heard within the fandom, which I can't even remember if this is an email that somebody sent us. I think it might have been an email to the show at one point, but somebody was like giving somebody a blowjob, or they were receiving a blowjob, and in the middle of the blowjob, they were texting the next guy they were going to sleep with. Like, dude wasn't even concentrating on the sex he was having. because he was texting the sex he was going to be having.
People.
Which I was just like, really, dude? Really? Come on, guys. Furry stories in the fandom.
I'm kind of, I mean, other than people like having giggle fits during sex, I'm kind of drawing a blank. Because we had somebody write in about that a while back, I think. They, one person thought they were having sex and then thought of something absurd and started laughing. And their partner got upset because of it, because they thought they were laughing at their performance.
Oh, that sucks.
So don't start laughing randomly during sex unless you're both really...
What if laughing my ass off is the sound I make when I come? Like I sound like a hyena having an orgasm.
You need to talk to our con chair.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know what sound hyenas make when they come. I don't
know. What about you, Shiva? Your character has all those extra genitals. I'm sure you must have some amusing sex stories.
Not that's coming to mind right now. I mean, there's mostly bits around sex of my own personal one, which is like when people...
are like, oh my god, you're a real girl.
Yes, I don't have a penis. You know.
Damn it, I was hoping to be trapped.
I wish, but no. It is only an innie. It is not any outie.
Yes. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. Beyond, you know, what people have emailed into us, you know. Maybe that is a topic for a future episode. Or just send in your own amusing sex stories, you know, when shit's gone wrong. You know, we've made the jokes about needing a sex helmet because the person on the bottom is like having their head banged against the headboard or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I know there's some cases of that.
I've had that. It's like, okay, we need to slide down the bed so that my head stops hitting the wall.
You don't need a sex helmet.
We need to just stop. I mean, I've had it so I had to put my hand up on top of my head between the wall and my head.
Yeah.
Or the bed or the head frame to just like, okay, guys, we need to slide. Put a pause. Move.
Pause.
So.
Okay. Something's two relatively short ones. You want to go?
Well, I've got a quick question.
Okay.
So I'm going up to the Northeast in October. So I'm going to be gone for like two recordings.
Okay.
My thing, I haven't been up to the Northeast in probably about 5 years. No, I had a brief funeral a couple years ago. I am craving, and some like of our listeners, like Rivka and some of the others, will know what I'm talking about. So any call-outs to anyone in like Mass, New Hampshire, Boston area that happens to have any recommendation, there's a particular thing up in the Northeast for Chinese food. I know you can't eat it because it's soy and it will kick your butt six days from Sunday. In the different areas of the U.S., there are Chinese food is actually wildly different. And in the Northeast, they've got this particular condiment called duck sauce. And I know that a million people say, oh, I know what that is. And they think it comes in little yellow packets.
Or orange.
Orange. And that's not it. When you're talking about the stuff that gets called that in the Northeast, it's actually a condiment they usually mix up in the restaurants. It's kind of like dark brown, usually goldenish applesauce. Consistency thin. We eat it with all kinds of fried food. It's not bright red. It's not orange. It's kind of chunky like applesauce. And each restaurant, from what I understand it, they buy like a particular stock sauce, and then they doctor it with a whole bunch of other things. I've heard everything from applesauce to adding like a little bit of vinegar and other spices to make it. But it's a very particular condiment found in that particular region, and you usually eat it with fried food or put it on fried rice. And it's something I grew up with, and it's something you can't find outside of New England. And you might have heard me and Rivka and some of the other folks that grew up there, whenever we get together and we start talking about home, that's one thing that always comes up is, god damn it, I want some Chinese food with duck sauce. So apparently the places that I used to go are either out of business, or they've been sold to somebody who doesn't do it. So if any of our local Bostonian friends who happen to listen, happen to have, I know exactly what you're talking about, and can send recommendations, I will love you long time. Because, oh my God, I don't know if you guys have anything, like you from back in Florida, well, mm-hmm. and you're local, so it's not quite, you haven't moved away from anywhere to miss things. That where you would kill for that particular sandwich from that particular store or
with a cuisine. Me, it's mostly British candy from back in Scotland when I was a wee lad.
Yeah, well, there's stuff, and now I got stuff I miss from Oz, but there's a couple things that you can't get. Mm-hmm. So, and you get one shot at maybe getting it again. So, if any folks have any recommendations, I will happily have it. Just remember, if it comes pre-made in a little sealed pouch and it's orange, that's probably not it. If it comes in a little, it's brownish gold, and it comes in like a condiment cup, that's what I'm referring to.
Hmm.
And anyone native to Mass in New England is going to probably know what I'm talking about.
Hmm.
Especially if they're like our age and grew up there.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I have to ping Rifka and see if he knows anybody. If he's been out there recently and can... like, name a place.
I'm sure he knows somebody.
Yeah. So that's my tangent, because I just had somebody else ask me, well, what are you going to do up there this fall? And it's like, oh, well, I'm going to show Sarah the mountains. We're going to go to the beach. We're going to eat lots of, like, seafood and hopefully Chinese food. Oh, my God, the Chinese food. It's one of those things from childhood that just, it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
The taste of home.
So how many more emails do we want to do? Because we've got it's one
nearly from, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, we got a long one from this morning, and then everything else goes back to the 23rd or before.
The 21st, but I think we're just going to have to call it on this week and maybe kind of cull some of these.
Well, I've culled a couple, so.
It's not that they're bad emails, it's just a matter of, I mean, shit, we've got a lot.
Yep.
We have 1, 2, 3.
Well, we've got a couple holding on.
7.
Yeah. Let's save a couple for next week. Let's do one more and then wrap it up.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so. Do we got. How about this one? No, that's one for our MFC. Geez, all of these are pretty long.
One of your online harem people wrote in.
Yeah. Yeah, you can read that one, Chiva. That one's short.
Which one?
A Little Help Scratching My Back.
Sure. Dear Notcast, that's a... I haven't seen it spelled like that before, but okay. That's a new one. You get props.
We have no cast.
Yes. I want to do some self-flagellation, and I could use some tips. I gave it a try some time back, but I didn't feel as much as I'd like. I think I need a heavier flogging device. Do you have any suggestions? Specific products or just guidelines on what to look for are helpful. I'm looking for something with a good, a strong impact and won't cause too much damage to clothing or to flesh. On a completely unrelated note, that email a couple episodes back asking about wet dreams reminded me about something from my past. All the wet dreams I remember having were nightmares. When my dreams reek of peak of terror and pain, I feel a particular pulsing sensation in my groin that I'd wake up. Is this abnormal? When I hear people discuss wet dreams, and it seems they're generally assumed to be erotic, and my emphatically weren't. Thanks a bunch, Rex May, number 418 of Fuzzle's Online Harem. So, self-beating, and not beating off. I know a couple of people who like to flog and spank, but that's... other people, or to receive it, not to do it to themselves?
I know people do it to themselves. Generally not with a flog, though, because they're difficult to control at the best of times. And I imagine it would be even more difficult doing it to yourself. I could, not on the ass, anyway. I can see people doing their back.
Yeah, usually.
By doing it over the shoulder.
I've seen, like, leather straps, like belts, but not the metal end, like the The floppy end.
Like what, from The Passion?
Yes. That is where we walked out on that goddamn movie. We went to go see it with a couple of other friends, and we got to the flogging scene, and Siam went green, and we went out, because he's one of those squirmish... I mean, I wasn't...
I wouldn't... Good. I mean, why would you go see Jesus porn anyway?
I don't know. It's
fucking garbage.
I don't know.
It was well made.
Yeah, but, it's still Jesus porn.
Allow me to make it worse for you. Mm-hmm. So the way they shot that scene, they had a fake backplate on Jim Caviezel. And at one point, one of the bars slipped under it and actually whipped him for real and cut him with the edge. And he said, basically, he said something like, "That hurt," and then he passed out.
Yeah, I much prefer Jim Caviezel in Person of Interest.
He also got struck by lightning during the crucifixion scene.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, exactly. Which are also Jim Caviezel's initials. So it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I have yet to see Person of Interest, but it does sound like a very good show.
So, yeah. In any case, back on to self-flagellation.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
God, the only flogger I've got, I won in a spanking contest, so I haven't really bought one.
Is that like best in show?
Yeah, totally. I'll tell you later. Along with the other three things I said that about that I've totally forgotten about now. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm kind of drawing a blank on that for you. I've always just gone to...
You also, FetLife might be a good place to look into stuff like that.
Yeah, in the past I've gone to local sex shops. I've had friends make me paddles by hand. And I've done some DIY stuff, but I don't...
Not for self-use, though. Right?
Maybe.
Oh, fuzz.
There's no one else around and you really need a beating. I'm a switch when it comes to spanking.
Ah.
But, generally not. I don't generally use floggers anyway, because I prefer paddles and straps. Mm-hmm. In any case, so I'm not the best person to ask about flogging. Though I recently flogged somebody actually on their back, which they're into, doesn't really do anything for me, because I'm all a butt guy, basically. Mm-hmm. I'm boring. I'm all centered on that one part of the body. But they wanted flogged, so I flogged them. Some people are into that. Okay. Look up shit about monks. They whip the piss out of themselves all the time.
Because reasons.
Because reasons, yes. Also look into a hair shirt. I hear they're awesome.
Burlap ropes around your stomach so that they... Yeah.
Is that another thing to do?
Yeah. It was self-mortification. Monks are pretty fucked up people.
Yeah.
Just saying.
You know, I mean, I've heard of, like, the lap band, but that's a different thing.
Yeah.
it was anyways.
It sounds pretty grody.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's your answer.
Ooh, monk fetish porn.
Whip the piss out of yourself. And
well,
scary wet dreams.
Only if you're into water sports. About the scary wet dreams, I don't really know. I haven't heard that before.
I've never had a scary wet dream. Mine have been weird. They've been out there.
Like, but most dreams are, you but know. But
never scary.
Yeah, you know? And you know, you just have a weird disjointed dream. It turns a little sexual and you wake up coming. And I mean, I could probably count on one hand the number of wet dreams I've had in my life.
I have no way to tell if I had one or not.
They're just coming all the time.
coming and going.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger when he's exercising all the time. It feels like I'm coming. Ah. You've never seen that interview?
No.
Holy fuck, you have got to see that interview. I'm sure you can Google Arnold Schwarzenegger coming and you'll find it. But he's talking about how good exercising feels. You know, it feels just like when I'm coming with a woman. When I'm running, I'm coming. When I'm lifting weights, I'm coming. I'm coming all the time. And he really said this. And this was like in the 70s when he was in the heavy lifting phase of his life, when he was a muscle guy and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, look that up. It's amusing. Look that up. Look up the Fox Say video.
What does the say? The thing is, people are not really realizing is that the guy who made the video is some like Swedish,
Norwegian
comedian.
Yes,
who does silly songs, and people are like, "Oh, this is fucking weird. What the hell?" It's made for like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, it was actually made as a promo for the upcoming season of their show.
Yeah,
and it was something that they were like, "Yeah, it was fun to film, but you know, we just kind of did this thing and put it out there, and it went viral."
Yeah,
and Kyle was saying when he was shown it on Tuesday, it had like 6,000 views, and then he checked it a couple days later, and it was at 2.5 million.
Jesus Christ!
And it was over 3 at the time he journaled about it earlier today on FA. So yeah, it got an insane following very quickly.
Yeah, I saw it. I'm like, it's silly, and that's all it is.
Was fun.
So that's it for tonight. It's 11 o'clock here, and
yep,
yes.
So it's... next week, write in with your strangest, funniest it's things that happened during sex.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be here next weekend. I'm going to be in Austin.
Oh, okay. Is that next week?
Yep.
Oh, all right.
Still record without me. Get Avery or somebody. Avery or Keo or anybody.
But we don't know how to work the magic machine.
Panther can do it.
Oh, okay. That'll work.
Yeah. It's not hard.
But it's magic. And only you can do magic, Savern.
Nope.
Okay. So write in with your crazy sex stories or something, and I'll see if we can get Avery on and maybe share some wacky stories from his life of debauchery. So on that note, good night.
And big balls.